Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right. You know what it is. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us. You're getting Husker Sports, college football, and sports in general. Producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun of the process, giving you unique insight and unbridled honesty. Today's show, Dylan Raiola flat out said, let me get the exact quote here, and I quote, "There's really no excuse for us not playing at a high level," end quote. Again, that's Dylan Raiola. Also, some early bowl projections coming out. Have you seen any of these, Jake?
I have not.
Do you have any guess as to, and I can't even tell what the bowl game is. The symbol is, oh, now I can read it. You have any guess as to who the opponent is? The one that I'm caught my eye and I'm particularly looking at right now. Just have a guess. Take three guesses.
Texas A&M.
Oh, wow. You went right out the gate. What's next, UCF? Dude.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude. Okay. Join me in my utopian WWE world real quick, okay? We make the playoffs. First round. It's A&M. Round two, it's UCF. I mean, let's just light them up and knock them down. Round three. Oh, my God. This means Colorado would have won two playoff games. But Colorado, then we play Oklahoma for the national championship. Mm. Or Texas. Do we beat Texas for the title? Yeah. Who would you rather beat?
I'd rather beat Texas.
Let's beat Texas for the title. Oh, man, that would be phenomenal. That would be awesome. By the way, it's not UCF. It's not A&M. It's not Texas. But we will get into some of the early bowl projections. I will tell you right now, it caught my eye. Mm. Who they have us projected to play caught my eye. All right. Hour one of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901, 124 years strong. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's Hamilton. TEL.com. All right, Jake. We haven't talked much about Houston Christian, and we'll get into everything else that I chatted about a minute ago as this show goes along. And then Matt Rhule's going to have his Thursday press conference. We'll react to that as well. And honestly, I didn't get a chance to react to what Dana Holgorsen had to say the other day, more of what Dylan Raiola had to say the other day. Although we did react actually briefly to Holgorsen. But we might dive into it just a little bit more. A couple of interesting quotes in general from press conferences over the past few days. Briefly, Houston Christian, 68-0. What's your score prediction? Just do it right now. What's your score prediction? Is it 68-0 like Akron? Is it 69? Is it 81? Is it 100? Is it 50? Is it 2?
Yeah, maybe 50. Let's go 59-3.
59-3. I'll give it away. I said 56-7 the other day. I'm going to stick with that. Getting another shutout, getting two in a row is just hard. Poor Akron. Wow.
They've getting shut out twice as hard that hard to do.
Wow. That's harsh. But getting two in a row would be hard. I'm almost tempted to go with the field goal. Something tells me, though, Houston Christian, if they're on like the 1 yard line and it's fourth and goal, they're just going to go for it. They don't strike me as the team that's going to kick that field goal. And they like to run the ball. That is what they like to do. They want to shorten the game. So we probably won't have as many offensive plays, won't have the ball as many times for as many possessions. They are, I think I mentioned this the other day, I can't remember. But if I've been told if they were to play Akron, they would have been a 13-point underdog. Like Akron would be a 13-point favorite. You could argue, like, the worst player on Nebraska's roster could be amongst the best, if not the best player on their roster. So there's obviously a mismatch here. But I said 56-7. That's still a score and two touchdowns every quarter. They get a lucky touchdown along the way. They're going to shorten the game. They like to run the ball a little bit. So for me, that's kind of how I look at the Houston Christian game. Beyond that, like, what's the minimum of what Nebraska has to do for you to feel good after the game? Which for me, feeling good isn't just we beat them the way we should. That's part of it. It's part one. But did we get better in certain areas? Red zone scoring and efficiency. Stopping the run. Getting after the quarterback and kickoff returns. Those are four things that kind of come out right off the top of my head. I have no notes. I have a ton, but none of those are in my notes. Did we get better at those four things? I would start number one with stopping the run against Houston Christian. We've had six guys through two games so far this year average 5 yards per carry or more. And that includes Akron starting running back. Excuse me. And then we've had three guys, all in the Cincinnati game, who averaged 8.5 yards per carry or more. So for me, that's number one. Like, that's number one, and then it's 1A, and it's 1B, and it's 1C, and then two would be red zone efficiency, three would be getting after the quarterback, four would be kickoff returns. What about you, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to come out of this game and think this is a well-coached team, and I think that's been from the beginning, you know, so you kind of look at turnovers, penalties, that sort of stuff. I think that's been pretty good. And obviously was really good in the first game. They did have a turnover this past game, but one through two games, I think is forgivable. I mean, that's on pace for what you would want. So, you know, that would be right up there, but I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I still think the biggest thing is rushing defense. I think that's still the biggest question, right now for the Nebraska football team. And then, I mean, there's the obvious other ones. I mean, just don't, you know, I rather not have this be a game that, you know, you could pull the guys at halftime if you need to, you know, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think turnovers, penalties, and rush defense.
So last game, just to kind of put a button on the Akron game here. All right, Dylan obviously didn't even finish the third quarter, let alone play the fourth quarter. He had a career high 364 pass yards. Now, our first five red zone attempts, because I will say maybe it's a 1-2 and then there's a little bit of a gap between 3 and 4. We've got to be more efficient in the red zone. We've been inside the opponent's 10-yard line, right, in the past couple of games three times and walked away with 3 points on those particular three possessions, from the false start versus Cincy, the fumble with Emmett, who played great, number 7 leading rusher in the entire country, and then the tush push where we were stuffed at the one. We came away with the field goal where we had the false start against Cincinnati. That's anywhere from 3 to 21 points that you could walk away with, and we walked away with, I guess, technically 0, but we walked away with 3. You can't do that when you're entering Big Ten play. I mean, when USC's dropping 73 and scoring points like it's a basketball game, you got Michigan coming into town. Those are things you want to improve on. Our first five red zone trips. Last game, we had 2 touchdowns, so there was some good here. A field goal, a fumble, and we turned it over on downs. So you want a much higher batting average than that, scoring 3 out of 5 times and scoring 2 out of 5 times with a touchdown. So you want a higher batting average than that. Okay. What are your thoughts on the red zone, getting close to the goal line? Cam Lenhardt is clearly the new Ty Robinson. They bring him in a fullback. The tush push didn't look great. Harburg has ran it a couple times, albeit one was, you know, more, actually two of them were quarterback sneaks. Haven't seen a ton there. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I'm still interested to see, because, I mean, I think, and ideally that's a good kind of package to throw out there. Is it going to work is kind of the other thing. So we'll see. Obviously, mixed results so far. I, you know, red zone offense is important, but I don't mind, you know, they even despite that stat against Cincinnati, remember they went for it on fourth down in the red zone. I don't mind that as much either. We saw it too in this game. One of the times they did not convert in the red zone, they got a safety out of it. So, you know, it does give the defense a long field to work with and an opportunity to get points of their own at times. So I do think that those stats are important, but I don't want it to stop you from saying, hey, well, let's at least get three here when you need seven, right? So, you know, that can kind of fit into, you know, different game stats aren't everything, but it does need to be improved, and they do need to be able to get, I mean, the whole idea behind let's get one more yard against Akron is you should be able to do that against anybody, but it's got to be done against Akron. And so with that not working yet, I'm very close to interested to see kind of how that plays out, because that Harburg package, again, theoretically makes a lot of sense. But would you maybe be better off, you know, spreading it out and give it to Emmett or loading up and give it to Emmett, or, you know, kind of other various means of getting that first down?
I do think with the Harburg package, they probably have, I guarantee there's a lot of things they haven't shown yet, and nor should they. We're going to save them for Michigan and a much improved Michigan State team and Big Ten slate coming up. So I guarantee we haven't seen everything. When Harburg comes in, there does have to be a bit of a threat of the pass. Like, I guarantee he hasn't thrown a football anywhere near as much recently as he did in previous years, but he still has the capability. Like, I was a high school quarterback. Did you see me play quarterback at the Turkey Bowl?
A little bit.
This is backyard flag football, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take this with a grain of salt. But I'll tell you right now, I still feel like to this day, I can walk up, barring a D1 quarterback being in the huddle, and feel like I'm probably the best option to throw the rock here. And I haven't thrown a football since I was 17 when I was a senior consistently at all. So there's got to be a little bit of a threat of passing the ball when Harburg comes in, so it's not so obvious. Kind of like last year, he would come in, oh, trick play. They're doing some sort of, it was too obvious. You know what I mean? I did make this note that I haven't mentioned yet. At one point, I wrote down during the game, 3 one-handed catches so far in the first half. So that's impressive. I guarantee Dylan loves that. Somebody asked me in a comment on social media about Dylan and how many rushing touchdowns he's had since he got here at Nebraska. I didn't really respond because honestly, I didn't care. It's not his thing. He doesn't need to run more unless it's there. And when it's been there, he's been decisive. That's all I care about. He kept it on a read option one time. Love that. The 360 spin at the end was not a thing of beauty, but I love the attempt and the effort. That's all I ask.
How about the little pose afterwards?
Well, you know, that was what it was. I love and I respect the effort. That's all I can ask. Okay. But he actually does not have a rushing touchdown because another guy responded, which brought it up in my timeline again. I was like, all right, I'm going to go look this up. He actually does not have a rushing touchdown yet since he got here at Nebraska. Again, that's not a big deal to me. I'm not uber interested in that. Just kind of interesting facts that you go back and you look through and you analyze the game again. You look forward to Houston Christian again. Okay, so again, some final thoughts on Akron, which is weird because we're Thursday after the Akron game. But let's be real. When you're looking forward to Houston Christian and you just won 68-0, there's a few things to look back at. All right, Nebraska, going back to first half defense, held, as we know, Akron scoreless. All right, the Huskers have allowed no touchdowns and a total of 5 combined points in their last 4 games dating back to last season. 2 points versus Boston College, 3 versus Cincinnati. All right, in their previous 4 games combined in the first half.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Iowa didn't do much till the second half. You think back to that Iowa game, too. Wisconsin didn't do much. So if you go back to 5 games, I wonder what that would look like as well. All right. Let's see. Raiola threw for this is first half kind of analysis here. Threw for 3 touchdowns in the first half, tying his career high. Obviously, ended up with a a career high, well, a game high, career high. Most total touchdowns he's ever had in one game versus Akron. Most passing yards he's ever had in one game versus Akron as well. All right. Now, Emmett Johnson had his longest touchdown of his run of his career, 47 yards. His previous long was 42 yards versus UTEP. We had a lot of things in this game that hadn't happened, along with the blocked field goal since UTEP. Too long. But again, getting some of these monkeys off our back here. All right, with back-to-back 100-yard rushing games to start the season, Emmett Johnson is the first Husker with consecutive 100-yard rushing games. I'm staring at it, so I know the answer. Since who, Jake? Do you have any? You have a guess?
I guess Anthony Grant.
Ooh, you nailed it.
Nice.
Have you seen this before?
No, he got close to 1,000 yards, right. I would assume he put Jake, together a few of them.
You're muy inteligente, my friend. All right. Since Anthony Grant had three straight to open the 2022 season. All right. This has been talked about. Sophomore receiver Ja'Cory Barney had three punt returns. This was in the first half of 48 yards. He ended up with 80. I think it was 87 in the game, which is more punt return yards than we had all last year combined. All right. And the 23-yard return was, let's see, including a 23-yard return in the first quarter. The 23-yard return was Nebraska's longest since blank had a 27-yard punt return at Purdue in 2020. That's half a decade. Who was blank?
2020. Wandale?
No, but this is... I'm in... Huh?
Spielman?
No, but I'll give you another one, because this is like... I'm just throwing this at you without any prep time. I'll give you one more. Defensive guy. One more guess.
Okay. Cam Taylor-Britt?
Nailed it. Like, I'm glad that these things are happening. It's just astonishing to me that some of these things haven't happened in a while. But I keep pointing out, all right, you got to get these monkeys off your back. Whether it be beating Wisconsin for the first time in 12 years, going to a bowl game, winning a bowl game, having a winning record, the punt return yardage, the consecutive 100-yard rushing games, all this stuff. Getting these monkeys off your back, it matters. It matters. It's part of the mental side of things. It's much easier to do something a second time. It's easier a third time and a fourth time exponentially than it is to do something for a first time. And sometimes when you've done something, but you haven't done it in a long time, it can almost be harder than if you've never done it before to try to do it again, because it can almost be frustrating. All right. Let's see. Nebraska's victory improved the Huskers to 2-0 all time versus Akron. Should be 3-0, but lightning storms. And 9-1 all time against current members of the MAC.
Now, hold on. That team started 0-6. I don't know if you're going to assume the Akron win that
year. Whoa. Are you saying we wouldn't have beat Akron that year?
I would say, given the Scott Frost era, I wouldn't guarantee anything.
Was that 2018?
Yeah.
I'm looking up Akron football schedule.
Yeah, look up
2018. What was their record? Well, especially when they started the year. They were 4-8 overall.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is Nebraska canceled. All right, Morgan State. Ooh, beat Morgan State. Oh, they beat Northwestern, 39-34. Yeesh. Played Iowa State close. Lost by 13, 13-26. Oh, then they got mollywopped by 24 to Miami of Ohio. All right, Buffalo beat them by 18. Kent State beat them by 1 point in overtime. All right, Jake, let's settle the debate that's 7 years in the making. Would Nebraska have beaten Akron? Would that have changed everything about the Scott Frost era, and would he still be here, or would we have just beaten Akron? Do you think we would have won?
I mean, obviously you would still think they're favored, but again, you go back, it's not just that team. The 2021 team had a lot of games they should have won that didn't win. I mean, that's the best 3-9 team of all time, right? So there's nothing guaranteed.
Great. I remember that. We're the greatest 3-9 team of all time.
We might have been. We were pretty competitive with everybody.
Honestly, we might have been. Did you say whether you thought Nebraska would win or not, or did you dodge the question?
I think they would have. I don't know, man. I think they would have won. I'll give it to them. Yeah, they would have won.
Dude, this is not the rabbit hole I planned on going down this first segment, but here we are. All right, texters. What's the number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Two-part question. Answer either part or both, whatever you please. Does Nebraska beat Akron if we play them in 2018? That's part one. Part two, how much does that change the trajectory of Nebraska football if we beat Akron? Now, if we lose to Akron, just don't answer. Just don't answer part B if you have us losing to Akron, because we know the answer. It probably just would have happened sooner. But if we win, if you have us winning, how does that change the trajectory of Nebraska football? Jake, you've already answered part one. I have us beating Akron. I think it's not ass of seven, Jake. It's not ass eight. It's ass of nine to say that we would have lost to Akron.
I don't know
home.
About that.
Remember, we almost beat Colorado. We outplayed them significantly just a week later without that infamous first game under our belt. So we didn't have the week one to week two improvement, and they did.
Week three, we lost to Troy. Troy was 10-3 that year. That game,
yeah, come on, man.
Neil Brown's been living off that victory ever since.
Come on, man. Troy was 10-3. Akron was 4-8.
Yeah.
Nebraska beats Akron. I'm going to stand here and almost definitively declare that.
Well, if they do, then of course they wouldn't have played Bethune-Cookman, so they still would have been 4-8.
Wow. Dude, you and your daggers, man. Bad news, Buck.
It's not my fault. We all know 2018. We all know the whole Frost thing. It's not my fault.
You're the one pointing it out, though. All right. Have we gotten any text yet? Does anybody think we would have lost to Akron?
Scott says, no, we would have won. Would have had the same record that season, like you said, with Bethune-Cookman there.
Yeah, probably.
1922 said we would have won and maybe made a difference in the season.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. So just to swap out Bethune-Cookman for Akron, if we're saying, again, if you have us losing to Akron, just say we lost and just stop there. I don't want to know what you think would have happened had we lost to Akron. Let's say we beat Akron. Do you think we beat Colorado? Because again, let me point out, they had a 4th and 20. And if we stop them, the game's over. We have the lead. There's like under 2 minutes left in the game. We stop them, but there's a personal foul call. I forget what it was.
Oh, yeah.
P.I. or whatever it was.
A late hit, I think, with Antonio Reed.
And gave them the first down. They score. They win. Do you think, not just take away winning versus Akron, having a game under our belt, you don't think that's worth at least a touchdown? Because the biggest improvements are week one to week two. Everybody will universally tell you that. So we're a better football team versus Colorado. Rather, then that's our first game. Remember, we don't have preseason games in college. We're not quite the NFL yet. Also, we have the momentum of actually winning. Do you think we beat Colorado? And that's where I'm curious what the ricochet effect would have been. We beat Akron. Let's say we beat Colorado, because playing one game ahead of your first game, so now your first game becomes your second game, is worth at least a touchdown. How does that affect the rest of the season? How does that – you are smirking, and I don't like it. What are you looking at on that screen?
You just sound like Scott Frost right now. Scott Frost finds any way to blame anything on anybody else.
Well, that's not what I'm doing.
Well, yeah, but I know you're trying to find a way to get more wins on this Scott Frost here. I'm telling you, I'm done with that. I saw Nebraska lose every which way, I feel like, under the Scott Frost era.
I'm not looking for anything. I wish Scott Frost all the best, and that's all I got to say about that. I'm just going back and being like, things have a ricochet effect. It's kind of like you bring someone who's hardworking and enthusiastic into a locker room. That's going to have a ricochet effect in your locker room. You will be a better team for it. You will have more wins. Same thing if you bring a cancer via a bad personality that has a ricochet effect in your locker room. You can't tell me Florida State should have been 2-10 last year. That team gave up and quit, and that started with the leaders on that team. So I'm not looking for anything. Again, I didn't plan this rabbit hole. I'm still staring at the notes that I was supposed to talk about 10 minutes ago. What other things are we getting off the text line?
0778 said Nebraska would have won, but it probably would have been ugly. Scott still gets fired. Scott in Minnesota says, didn't improve after first game. Bad loss at home to a bad Colorado team.
I think he means Troy.
Yeah.
Not a bad Troy team, 10-3, but a lower level Troy team.
Yeah.
So that's a fair point. But again, we would have had... If we have the momentum of beating Akron and then we beat Colorado, you don't think that has a ricochet effect versus Troy?
It could have.
Was our quarterback out versus Troy?
It was. Yeah, he was. Adrian.
Well, he could have just as easily still been out. All right, back to this. You know, we got to go to break. Is there anything off the text line before we move on from this topic and this rabbit hole? We're going to climb out of the rabbit hole in segment two. But before we do, is there anything else we should discuss in segment one? We'll take a break and we'll get back on track.
Anything else? A few thoughts that, like Scooter from Roca said, we don't have the offensive line to run the tush push. Nick and McCook says our tush push is not the Eagles' tush push. Ours is more tush, less push.
Oh, I've never heard that. That's a good one, honestly.
Somebody had a pretty good spot. Now I've lost it too. So I'll continue to look for that. I thought they made a good point, but it's gone.
We don't have the offensive line to do the tush push. We're huge.
Yeah.
I mentioned it before the season. It was a projected starting offensive line, which would have included Elijah Pritchett at that point in time because it was preseason. Let me look up something real quick. I want to make sure. So Gunnar Gatula, who I have to imagine was not part of that projection at that point in time, is 305. And Elijah Pritchett is listed at, if it would ever come up here. Stop taking me to Alabama photos. I don't want to see his Alabama photos. Can you find it real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My whole screen just went black.
So he's listed at 325.
So about a 15-pound difference, because I remember somebody texted in, and I verified it. Our average starting offensive line weight was like 321. So obviously, maybe that brings it down to 319. So let's say 315, maybe 320 pounds across the board, and we don't have the offensive line to get a foot. A foot? Let me bear in mind, in those scenarios, the offensive line and the offense has the advantage because they know the snap count and you don't have to get like 3-4 yards. You're just trying to get a foot, maybe 2/3 of a yard, a yard at most. You know the snap count. So you're moving first and we have to get that guy on the ground who's behind a bunch of behemoths. So we have to get through you to get him, who's not just going to fall down to the ground, and him is Heinrich Harburg, who's not easy to tackle. We don't have the offensive line to do that.
We should.
I'm asking your opinion.
Didn't on that fourth down. Should be able to, you would think so.
All right, we're going to get back on track. Let's take a break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.